You can all hear me? Great. I can hear myself. Great. Today, I decided that we would have Psalm 139 as our text. And so what I'd like to do first is just read through the psalm all together once, and then I'll go back and have some comments on the psalm. So I'm going to read from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before. You have laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and in the night it is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You are formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book are written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was no one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Now, this is a psalm that was fairly well known to all of us. And I thought we would just have a time to where we reflect over a few things in this passage and pray that the Lord will make it dear to our own hearts as he reveals himself to us in his word. Because one of the interesting things is the only thing we can know about God is what he has revealed to us through himself. We can think of all our wise intellectual concepts that we want to come together in our own minds and thinking of. But if you look at the philosophies of the world, you look at people's explanations of how things come to be, well, God has revealed how he's made us and how he's made the universe. If we didn't know about this, we wouldn't know about this unless he told us. And so in this particular psalm, it's talking about the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere. He knows everything, and that he knows everything. So he's everywhere and knows everything. That we cannot comprehend, because we want to be in control of everything. But God is the one who's in control of everything. And if things go wrong, I should blame him. No, I should say, oh, I'm his subject. This is a psalm that is given its authorship to David for the choir to sing. So if we go back about 1,000 years, perhaps a choir in Jerusalem would sing this psalm in part of their worship. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. The God of the universe has looked down at each one of us, and he knows who we are. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted in all my ways. You are not a stranger to God. He knows you. He knows your struggles. He knows your thoughts. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. He's with me where I'm at. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. This first little paragraph is incomprehensible for us to understand. But God is revealing how intimately he knows each one of us. We are not a stranger to him. We don't know how that works. Because sometimes when I think if someone would know how I am on the inside, I don't think they would like me. When we look at a mirror and see ourselves, sometimes we are not very pleased with what we see. Because we can see that we are not up to standard to what we even have for ourselves. But God knows each one of us. And he's also showing that he loves us. In Isaiah, there's this one verse, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And it's somewhere here in my Bible. In verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we read something like this in the Bible, God is just explaining to us that our human minds sometimes can't comprehend what he is doing or how he's doing it. But he tries to explain it to us, for example, in Psalms like 139, of how he interacts with us in human terms. Where can I go from your spirit? For where can I flee from your presence? Do you sometimes feel alone, that God's forgotten you? Or have you tried to run away from God, thinking that he can't find you? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. Sometimes in life you might feel like you're in a free fall, where you've lost everything. But God is there. He has you. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Some of us may experience a dark time in our life where we can't see out, we can't see anything. We think it's hopeless. But God can see us, can see you in the midst of your despair and darkness. For him, it's like seeing you in the brightness of day. He knows you, and he knows where you're at, and he has his hand around you. You're not alone. We may feel alone, but God is declaring, you're not alone. I am there. I see you. No matter what circumstances I find myself in, God can meet me there. For you formed me in my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Each one of us is a miracle. This life that we have is something that God has given to each one of us. We might think there's some mistakes in the way that we were created. God's hand was there. He knows exactly who you are and what your life is, because he's given it to you. This is a wonderful little phrase, and my soul knows it very well. We might feel that I'm not anything. I'm not worth anything. But God looks at you and me, and he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Hear that from God. Don't let others take that away from you. And my soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained to me, when as yet there was not one of them. That's incomprehensible, that God knows each one of us, and he also knows the amount of days that we have. This is not to make us go around in fear. Oh, no. It's to know that God is in charge. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. When you look around, when you read God's word, and when he declares how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. God has declared things over each one of us. Are they precious to me, or do I not believe them? When I wake up in the morning, I still have breath to exhale and inhale. I'm living. Am I thankful? Because God has said precious things to me of himself. Oh, that I would slay the wicked, O God. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly. And your enemies take your name in vain, and do not hate those who hate you, O Lord. And do not loathe those, and do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Are we so in tune with how much God loves us and how he's created us and given us life? And how that we are to embrace him. Do we hate the things he hates? Do we turn away from the things that are against him? There are battles that we have to fight, and there's danger. And sometimes we're oppressed by certain things. We have physical wars. Right now, Ukraine is one place. Israel's another. There's enemies. There's different kinds of destruction going on. But we're in a battle. And I'd like to refer it to what we see in Ephesians 6. In verse 12. Okay, is it right? That's the full armor of God, but that was not the verse I wanted to talk about. It talks about how, I've gotten the wrong verse written down, where it talks about how we're in a spiritual warfare, not of physical things, but of spiritual enemies and powers. A lot of things that distract us from following Christ. Do I hate the world in the sense of following its ways? Or do we love following Christ? There's that one parable in the Gospels, where it says, broad is the road to destruction and narrow is the way to life. Am I choosing to be on that narrow way? Because the broad way is not following after God. The narrow way is following him. In a sense, when we look in the Old Testament, we can see many of the struggles that the Israelites had when they came out of Egypt, and we're going to go to the Promised Land. that they had to make a decision. And Joshua, he made this declaration at the end of his book that he's written. Chapter 24, verses 14. And now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which you your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable with you in your sight, serve the Lord. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whom this land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we're in a battle here on earth in our journey of living, and we have a choice. Do we want to have the battle and fight with the Lord, or are we going to be fighting against the Lord? So I want to encourage each one of us to be on the side that Joshua recommended, is that I will follow the Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Here's a cry from the author. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Is that my prayer? Is that your prayer? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, you know who I am. You know what my desires are, what I'm anxious about, what I'm worried about. See if there's any hurtful way in me. If there is, help me change. Lord, and lead me in the everlasting way. So this psalm should be an encouragement to us, knowing that God is all-knowing and everywhere. We're not hidden from him, but he has his thoughts and good intentions on you, on me. And so we have a choice to respond to it. The response I would like to show us is what we have in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. After understanding and hearing all these proclamations of the psalmist of who God is and what he knows and the power that he has, there's a response that I think that we could have. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. When we read Psalms 139, is that our mindset? Is that your mindset? This God that you believe in and have put your trust in? If it is, then I urge you, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice to him. Give him everything. because he's shown us he knows everything. He knows you. He knows me. And we know because of the Gospels that this power of knowing God personally and having Christ indwell us and have the living Holy Spirit live within us, he's given us the ability to live this life of where we can walk in his presence. And we can have a life that is honoring to him despite of the circumstances. Everyone that wrote a book in the New Testament went through hard times. The disciples that followed Christ, they did not have easy lives, but they had lives that were fulfilled in Christ. Some were in persecution. Most of them died because of their faith. But in spite of that, they still put their faith and trust in God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there are any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the life everlasting. Lead me in the everlasting way. Am I on that path to where I'm going towards Christ? I hope these words were encouraging to you. It's just more of a devotional than a big sermon. Knowing God knows you, knows your circumstances. And we know the story of Christ, of how he came and he met us where we're at. Let us grab a hold of him and walk with him today. I'm thankful that we can be a part of a fellowship that honors that and wants to encourage that. As families and individuals, we want each one of us to be ones that follow Christ with all our heart, mind, soul, and body. Help us do that. Dear God, I just thank you for this time we get to have to look at your word. I pray again that your will be done in each one of our lives, and help us not to stand upon our own wisdom, but to come to you and stand upon yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, stand up. We'll have a benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen.